Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program. Lots to cover today, so let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
All right, Scott, I have a complaint. I'm looking at the screen for Wednesday's trade, and I see a lot of red. You were supposed to deliver us all positive numbers the rest of the year.
I'm trying to keep the holiday colors mixed. Little green, little red, little green, little red.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, where's the star at the top of the tree?
Well, we'll see. That's going to be up to Washington. Wednesday's trade was a little off, as you say. It wasn't too bad until about lunchtime and then just got progressively worse. The Dow closed down 99 points at 13,251, but we kept it at two digits, so that's all right. NASDAQ off 10 at 3044, S&P off 11 at 1435. Gold basically flat, down $1.30 at 1669. Decent move on oil, up $1.50 a barrel at 89.42. That is a combination of inventories report, which came out on Wednesday that showed low inventories coupled with higher demand. And as we know from our freshman high school economics course, that makes prices go up.
Yields, am I supposed to be writing this down?
No, no, you're okay.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what you got me for. And yields on 10s off just slightly, but still fairly elevated from the last several months at 1.798. And it will cost you $1.32 to buy a euro.
Okay. Well, as you said, red and green. You know, maybe this is just, you don't have anything really to ascribe it to other than just a fiscal cliff negotiation.
Yeah, it's all fiscal cliff. Okay. The president came out and he said the two sides are only $200 billion apart in their deal about the looming cliff. And he basically said, you know, we're in the same categories, but we just don't quite have the exact same numbers, but we're right there as far as a deal goes. And so we'll see. But I do want to tell you a little bit more about Plan B in depth in a few minutes here, just because I think Plan B is becoming more and more the actual can that may get kicked down the road, although President Obama has said he will veto it. But a fair amount of other pieces of news today. Fitch warned that the U.S. could lose its AAA credit status if we don't resolve the fiscal cliff. So that got things a little jittery.
Don't they always say that, though, every time we start negotiating about the budget or something?
Yeah. And
if, is that, you know, hey, we want to stay relevant?
Yeah. And everybody knows what happened during the mortgage meltdown as far as the credit ratings go. So everybody just kind of, they're like the pesky little brother. You know, kid, leave me alone. General Motors had a decent day. They announced they will buy back $200 million of their own shares from the Treasury, try to unwind that bailout money, $27.50 a share over the next 15 months. FedEx was up after they had earnings dropped less than expected.
Hey, yes. How about the government just puts everything that they own in the companies that they bailed out, put that out there on the market, and then use that to close that $200 billion shortfall?
Yeah, let's get a bureaucratic machine to select investments for us. But they made some money on AIG. General Mills was up a little bit higher. We did have some earnings news on Wednesday's trade. I mentioned FedEx. General Mills a little higher after they lifted their profit outlook. Facebook was up after Cantor Fitzgerald moved their price target up to $33 a share from $28. That's the highest price target I've seen on them for a while. And in economic news, housing starts fell to a seasonally adjusted rate of 861,000. It's a little lower than the month before, economists looking for 875,000. And then the ever-volatile weekly mortgage applications number fell to its lowest level since early November, snapping a five-week gain. That's about it. Friday we'll look for quadruple witching, so Friday will be a very volatile day. We'll get Chicago Fed activity, consumer sentiment, and earnings from Walgreens on Friday.
What makes it the witching? Which ones are expiring?
Basically all of them.
Futures and options,
index futures, all of them.
Well, interesting you mentioned the GM bailout and stock sell or buyback.
Yep.
The U.S. government, here's a poll from Yahoo.
Oh, you love those.
I love those. The U.S. government is looking to sell the rest of its stake in General Motors over the next 15 months. likely at a significant loss.
Yeah.
Was the bailout worth it? And 32% say yes, it saved GM, the auto industry, and jobs. No, it cost taxpayers billions, said 45%. And 23% said we've turned into a bailout nation.
Yeah, I will say this. The unemployment benefits for the number of people who would have lost their jobs exceeded the loss of the bailout. I'm confident in that.
Funny you should mention that. In USA Today money section, no deal on the cliff. Jobless checks will end on December 29th. There are a lot of people that will no longer, about 2.1 million Americans will lose their extended jobless benefits on December 29th if Washington doesn't renew them as part of a deal on the package of tax increases and spending, so on and so forth. So there's a lot at stake in these guys saying, all right, we'll make it work.
For $200 billion in the difference. Well, even for small companies like ours, I mean, at some point, you're going to have the administration team start to rework the tax withholdings and all that kind of stuff, which is going to hurt productivity of the company. And, you know, it affects every level of the economy. I read a report today that expected milk to double in price if the cliff isn't resolved. And that may be a little bit drastic, but...
trying to hit people where they hurt with their milkshakes and everything else. All right, Lisa is fanning us, saying we're overdue for a quick break here, but we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Breaking it down, that's what we're doing. Okay, I've got several more. Let me ask you this before you get to yours. Gold, we've seen a pullback in gold.
Yeah, and even Jim Rogers says gold is... Oh, did I beat you to it? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, steal my thunder.
Ahead.
No, that's... Yeah, even Jim Rogers, who has been a big gold bug,
for years,
gold bull
years
for
and
years,
and years,
he's saying, well, you know, we've been seeing a pullback. We expected this to happen. But you can... I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see a pullback going into 2013.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that says basically the same thing every time they interview him, kind of like that Dr. Doom fellow.
Dr. Doom, yeah.
So I don't know why he continues to be relevant, but he has been such a perma bull on gold. This is really the only time he's ever said anything negative, and even this is just sort of, just a temporary pullback.
Here's a great example of what you're talking about. He's quoted in this CNBC article. Most things correct 30% every year or two. Even in big bull markets, 30% correction are normal. Yeah, gold has only done that once in the past 12 years. Well, how much more spin can you get than that? That's just not outright not true.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. He's actually driven around the world, believe it or not. He had one car that he drove the whole way around the world.
Is it gold?
No, but he designed it himself, and interesting fella.
I saw a picture one time of a white gold Mercedes.
Really?
That one of the Saudis had, one of the sheikhs.
Really?
And I mean, I think it was like some ridiculous number, $10 million or something. I mean... So maybe he's got the gold car. Anyway, that was a little bit of a gold report, which I thought was pretty interesting. And of course, Scott already knew about it. So our listeners do now, too.
Well, let me tell you the Finglish to English version of House Speaker Boehner's Plan B. Are you familiar with this Plan B?
I've heard about it, but you know, we're still on A, so I haven't seen it yet. But you do tell.
Yeah, Plan A is to resolve the cliff. Plan B is what the Speaker is proposing to just sort of kick the can down the road. And specifically, what is in the bill is an extension of Bush-era tax cuts for Americans making less than $1 million.
Okay.
And that's significantly higher.
Well, that would be good for 99.75% of the population.
Right. That is also significantly higher than the president's concession, let's call it, of $400,000. Plan B also sets 20% for the tax rates on capital gains and dividends for folks with income higher than $1 million, but keeps the 15% rate for those making less than $1 million. So all these things are sort of I think, acceptable to the general public. As far as the estate tax rules goes, which really is a big deal, and from my mind, I don't think the government is going to let all this money go from generation to generation without taking a big chunk of it. Anyway, they set the exemption just north of $5 million with a top rate of 35% in so-called Plan B. That number goes to 55% without a fiscal cliff deal.
And goes back to $1 million exemption.
And goes back to $1 million exemption, which is, I mean, that's a lot of money.
A whole bunch of dolphin just got caught in the tuna net.
Yeah, that's right. So, but that's basically what Plan B is. Does not make any reference whatsoever to spending cuts, which is a little bit odd coming from the Republican camp, but as you hear it
I think the reason he doesn't have to specify that is I think he's going to allow some of the, they would allow some of the automatic spending cuts to be part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so anyway, as you hear more and more about the Plan B, that's what it is.
I think what I think what he wants, not to presume, but I'll do it anyway, he wants to, they're very focused on the cutting part, that he's like, all right, well, we'll let the cuts automatically go through, but we will do X on the tax part.
Which are more cuts than they really are looking for in a negotiation anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, so maybe that's the, and that's where you're seeing a lot of stuff on the internet talking about the Republicans squeezing the president. That's what they're referring to.
Well, we'll see what happens. President Obama has vowed to veto it.
And this is something interesting I just saw on the web, is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial. I've never heard of them. He says gold's going to go to 2,000 an ounce.
Well, good for him. I hope he has some.
So he and Mr. Rogers need to get together.
Yeah. Well, in more serious news out of Washington, White House has said that they are talking to American Express CEO Ken Chenault about joining the president's administration as Secretary of the Treasury.
Now, here's a question any reasonable person would ask. Why would he want to do that? Well,
he's CEO
of American Express?
Yeah.
Why would he want to give up a gig like that to go be in the cabinet?
Well, they present it like it's the first choice, but really the first couple of choices were Lloyd Blankfein, who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan, and they said exactly what you said. Why would I do that? But Chenault,
I'll give you Fridays. How about that?
Yeah, Mr. Chenault, 61 years old, so he's, you know, starting to sneak up on retirement age. He has been a tremendous supporter of the president's, and so I think he may want to participate.
If it's a retirement gig, that's okay. If he says, look, I'm done, I'm ready to retire, different story.
Yeah, he has not said that, but they definitely are in discussions. The real leading candidate for that job is the White House Chief of Staff, Jack Lew, but I think they're trying to appeal to Wall Street with that news.
Okay. We're going to take another short break and be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and before Scott gets to more incredibly interesting information, I thought this was pretty remarkable. UBS admitted to a fraud in the amount of $1.5 billion in their LIBOR rigging deal.
Yeah, this is not a slap on the wrist.
A fine of $1.5
billion. Yeah, this is a real fine.
So this, and they admitted to fraud. This isn't, they're saying, well, we neither admit nor deny the allegations, but to avoid X, la, 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 we're going to pay the fine, or we're going to pay a fee. We didn't do anything, but we'll pay your fee. This is, hey, we did it. Fine us.
Yeah, they were so red-handed as far as the data that the prosecutors had. Text messages between traders that would say clearly, hey, I'm helping you out with this LIBOR rate, so make sure you help me out at Christmas time and stuff like that. Just really terrible things.
Well, and this is on top of a $2.3 billion rogue trade scandal they had. And where's the numbers down here? Oh, and the UBS says it has to pay the $1.2 billion to the U.S. Department of Justice. See, now, you could backflow that back up to the budget deal. You just need 200 more of those.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Just go shake down.
Probably could.
Where's
find,
Jesse Jackson right now? We can send him out and he
some.
Can shake down another 200 companies and get them for a fine, and we'd be all good. We'd
I'm
be
not
reconciled.
Sure you could find 200, but you certainly could find some. That LIBOR scandal was very, very broad-based, and I think that's probably not the last we've heard of that.
Wow. Good grief. That's a big number to just swallow that and say, yep, we did it. Let's move on.
Well, they had little choice. I wanted to tell you about shares of Herbalife, you know, the multi-level marketing weight loss supplement product. Very, very difficult day for them on Wednesday. Shares were off about 15% at their worst during the day. What happened was Bill Ackman, who is the founder of Pershing Square Capital Management, which is basically nothing more than a hedge fund, released information that he had been shorting for the last year or so. This comes on top of David Einhorn, another hedge fund manager who had some real questions about the business model there. Basically, both of these two hedge fund managers are saying, listen, this is nothing more than a pyramid scheme.
Well, here's my question. The guy comes out and says, I've been shorting it. The stock falls, and then his prediction or his bet is played out in perfect time.
Sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
Well, you may want to have that discussion with Herbalife Chief Executive Officer Michael Johnson, who was on CNBC. I thought he was going to have a stroke. He was so upset. He was going on and on about how they were all kind of puts that were purchased that are set to expire on Friday. Remember, we talked about quadruple witching and that the timing of this was very, very suspect because now the puts are in the money, but as of this morning, they weren't. But
they're in the money now, boy.
But, I mean, really, you know, they for a while, these multi-level marketing companies have a tendency, not all of them, obviously, but some of them have a tendency to record sales when the product goes from the warehouse to the distributor's garage.
For the person who's got to sell it, hasn't been sold yet.
Not from when it goes to that person's garage to the end user.
Their volume is up, good grief, almost 20-fold.
Yeah, and there's Mr. Ackman is supposed to have a an investor summit sometime on Thursday to really
tenfold,
give it the details.
Tenfold on the volume.
Yep, so we'll see really what he's thinking, but I think it's more bad news to come for Herbalife.
Okay, well, you'll have to get creative and get vitamins and weight loss supplements somewhere else.
One way you can get vitamins is by eating meat. I want to tell you about this.
All right, go paleo.
Piece of beef. Yesterday I told you about the $8 million iPad.
Oh, boy.
Today I'm going to tell you about the $30 per ounce beef that you can get.
Is this the one where they, like, feed it caviar and massage it all day?
Well, they do that. The Japanese do that with the Wagyu Kobe beef. This is called a Kogoshima cattle. It is out of Japan. There are only two restaurants in the United States that sell it. Apparently, it is so marbled that it's more white than red.
Wow.
You don't need any kind of a knife, a butter knife or a steak knife or anything. It's rated A5 by the Japanese equivalent of USDA, which is above our version of Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a mere $30 an ounce.
That's crazy. So an 8-ounce filet is $240.
Yep. Conversely, Morgan Ranch, Nebraska-based beef, you can get a Wagyu beef for about $3 an ounce. So that's a pretty big difference there. But, you know, with only two restaurants.
Yeah, but even $3 an ounce, it's
still a lot.
It's still pricey.
Two restaurants in the United States sell it, and the chef of the one in New York, which is a restaurant called BLT, said the supply is so limited that after New Year's Eve, he doesn't think he'll have any for all of 2013.
See, that presents a problem to a guy like me who eats a 14-ounce steak and doesn't really.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
I'm still hungry.
It's all yield, though. You know, you wouldn't have any scraps.
That's true. Well, who says there's scraps when I'm eating
mine? But you could go with your whole grilling process and.
Wow.
It'd be terrific.
All right. Well, I do like steak. What else you got there, Scott? I've got a few things for you. Are we at a break, Lisa? Lisa says it's time for break. I'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about debt, and I want to talk about that banker from Morgan Stanley, his costly cab ride. Stay tuned for that.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back. Two things for you. First, USA Today had a report out that now $5.5 trillion of the U.S. Treasuries are held by foreign owners in October. And the largest owner is, of course, the perennial placeholder, China, at just over $1.16 trillion.
And that's Bank of China specifically, not Chinese retail investors.
Exactly. And the other, it's not in the article, but I do know that the others, top holders, Japan and Britain. So, interesting. And there was an update also to share with our class. Remember the banker back that had that costly cab ride? You know, he had the thing. He went to a party.
A Christmas party, I think.
Christmas party or something. Let's see if it tells me in the article. Wall Street Journal talked about it. He had been to a party.
In the city.
Yeah, anyway. So, he gets in a cab because the black panel car didn't come and pick him up like it was supposed to.
Yeah.
So, he's probably already pretty upset when he got in the cab. He fell asleep in the cab, allegedly. Gets driven out to his house. The guy wants, what, $200-some-odd?
He wanted $294.
And he's like, no, I'm not paying that. Anyway, gets into a scuffle with the guy arguing and pulls out this little knife, and he's stabbing the guy through the little window. I mean, it's horrible. It's not funny, but it is. And anyway, so long story short, he ends up, they drop charges. The prosecutors have dropped charges. He had been charged. They dropped charges. Get this. They dropped charges because the cabbie finally said, oh, by the way, I've got his pen knife that he stabbed me with, and I've had it for a couple of months, because they never had the knife. It's like, well, why didn't you turn it in before?
Yeah.
So it's kind of suspicious. And so, but in the process, this guy who worked for Morgan Stanley for basically his whole working career, 19 years, he's lost his job, and they're like, you're done. They dropped off all of us. They put it in boxes and dropped it on his driveway.
Yeah, and they did a clawback of all his
and he's out $5 million of deferred compensation.
You know, I'm certain they still run the train from Grand Central Station to Derry, and then he could have gotten on the train. It would have cost him about $8, and
yeah, but he would have had to be on the train with the riffraff.
I mean, I figure a guy like that it's probably not an isolated incident. If you lose your composure that badly,
that's not good. Anyway, so what the moral of the story is, you know, be kind to cabbies.
Be kind.
Hug your cabbie today.
Just be kind.
Yeah, be kind.
No harm ever comes in being kind.
All right. I'm going to go around the world in a minute, but before that, what do you got?
I want to tell you about the top three performing stocks of 2013. I realize we're a little bit early on that. We haven't quite come to the end of the year, but...
So standard disclaimers apply.
Yeah, and these are more just out of for trivial interest than anything. Number three, no real surprise here, I don't think. A company called CVR Energy. They are a refinery in Sugar Land, Texas, symbol CVI. Very, very strong earnings throughout the year. They beat expectations each quarter. During the last quarter, they posted a profit of $209 million, which was almost double the year earlier, and announced that sales had surged over the year almost 80%. So pretty good stuff there. Number two, you would never guess this if we sat here for 3 hours, Sprint Nextel.
The one that you've been beating on them a while, haven't you?
After they bought Nextel, they had so much debt. Up 140% for 2013, most of that because they had a huge capital inflow from SoftBank, part of which they used to turn around and buy the remainder of their full control of Clearwire. They made some really, really significant changes to their capital structure, which helped them tremendously.
So they've cleared out all the mess and tightened everything up.
Yeah, keep in mind, it's still about a $6 stock or so. So it certainly isn't one that you want to rush into. And then the number one performer of 2013, you would guess this after you guess Sprint, I would guess, U.S. Airways.
Wow.
Up 152%. And most of the year, there was a rumor that they were in the process of trying to merge with American Airlines. And in December, American Airlines actually finally confirmed that they had given some confidential information to U.S. Airways. But, yeah, even with high energy prices, pretty much throughout the year, up 152% for them.
That's not bad.
Yeah, good for them.
Real quick, Oracle posted a big jump in their quarterly profits, which was good because it also alleviated some of the concerns that big businesses were slashing their tech spending.
Yeah, stock did well on Wednesday as well, up 4% or so most of the day.
And average housing prices, speaking to China, rose at a faster pace in November, boosting hopes that the nation's property market has turned a corner, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yep, good news there. The home builders really worldwide are starting to look much better. Real estate worldwide is starting to look much better as well.
And on a related note, China's index, their stock market index, the Shanghai Composite, is only now off 2%.
Yeah,
earlier in the year, we were talking about an 8 or a 9 or a 10% loss for the year, but they're down only 1.7%.
Yeah, we're actually in the process of adding Chinese exposure to our most aggressive portfolio, only the most aggressive ones, but we are adding China.
That's good, because I told somebody that earlier. I'm glad.
Oh, good.
Okay. And Spain is now only off about 5%. Chile is off 11. And then a lot of countries, boy, Germany's up 30% year to date.
Yeah.
That's a nice India year. Up 25? Is that 25? 25%. Japan's up 17. Singapore up 19. So a lot of positive numbers. And of course, back here at home, Dow Jones Industrial Average up a little over 9% year to date. Yeah. But the S&P, 15. Now, of course, this is without the pullback for Wednesdays. And then 17 on the NASDAQ. So, you know, when it's all said and done, unless we have something crazy here happen in the last few days of the year, not a bad year.
Yeah, really, you would expect the Indian market to be volatile. It's still an emerging market, so for them to be up that much is not really a shock, but the German market, I mean, that's an established AAA economy. So they have done very, very well. And adding on to your thoughts about Europe, I want to tell you that former Prime Minister of Italy, Silvio Berlusconi, says that if the European Central Bank doesn't have more tools to keep their interest rates down, then they may be forced to leave the Eurozone.
Oh,
and
boy.
I think most of Northern Europe said au revoir or adios or whatever they wanted to say.
Let's see. What is it? Ciao.
They ciao. Say ciao in Italy. See you later.
Yeah. Spanish is what is it? Nos vemos. That's it. We'll see you later. We'll see each other soon. And speaking of Spanish, also in the news, this may have an impact on Latin America and our exposure. What we may want to do there, Scott, is Venezuela said that President Chavez has a respiratory infection undergoing cancer surgery. He does not sound good.
He's a fighter, though. He's been through it a couple times.
He's a tough guy. He's in Cuba getting this medical care. So a change there, not to wish him any ill. But if something does happen with his role in his country's government, that could portend other changes in South America.
Well, and it could have a tremendous impact on energy markets as well, because they have basically nationalized all the oil fields down there, which are not insignificant.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. We're going to take one more quick break, Lisa. Yep, one more quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Last sprint to the finish here for the program today. Any other key stuff you want to get in before we run out of time, Scott?
Really, everything from here to the end of the year is about the cliff.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Anything new on QE, QE4, QE20?
Well, you know, it kind of flew under the radar because of the cliff, I think. But we had another round of quantitative easing announced by Chairman Bernanke when he said they were changing Operation Twist, which was they were selling all their short bonds in inventory using the proceeds to buy long bonds. Well, they ran out of short bond inventory to sell. So now they're just going to buy the long bonds. That is QE4.
How do they do it? They have to print the money to do it?
Yeah, they just literally, there's a guy that goes in and pushes a button and adds a couple of digits, and then they have the money to buy the bonds. That's how it is.
Does he do any work privately where he can come and show me how to do that with my bank account?
It's a nice skill to have. You think you could get a job anywhere with that on your resume?
I think that would do it. Well, speaking of having some extra cash, I can confirm that Newswire Association, let's see here, we got a news release that Sun Life Financial did execute a definitive agreement whereby Delaware Life Holdings, which is owned by Guggenheim Partners, the hedge fund, will purchase Sun Life's domestic U.S. annuity business and certain life insurance businesses for $1.3 billion. And so this is another company, another life insurance and annuity company that is being purchased.
How does that affect policyholders?
That's a good question. It should, in a normal, regular, what you would expect world, it should not affect current policyholders. However, different companies have different philosophies about how they would maintain interest rates or what, but they, you know, their money's not affected. I mean, it's still subject to all the statutory requirements and reserves and everything, but they could decide to not pursue getting more business and just basically handle the existing book of business. It'll be seen. There's been a few other of these acquisitions that have happened. So it is changing. There's a lot that is changing in that industry. But, well, we're done. We'll have to tune in next time. Thank you, Scott.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.